Thanks for joining us today for our Monday broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. Today we will be continuing our study in Exodus. So let's join Pastor Dave now.
Soon your trials will be over.
If you need a Bible, raise your hand. We will place a Bible in your hand. We are going to be in Exodus chapter 20. As we get back into Exodus, it's interesting because we usually, at the beginning of the year, we started bringing in the junior high and high school into the very first weekend of the month in order to join their parents in taking communion. So that'll be next week, okay? And yet, because of what we're going through this morning, honor your father and mother, I was just kind of asking the Lord, man, why couldn't we have set it up to that they were here for this one? I don't know. God has his reasons. All I know is that next week when they're here, it's thou shalt not murder. So God has his reasons. Can't really always figure it out. So here we are in Exodus chapter 20. God is forming a nation here. God knows in order for this nation to run properly, the people in his nation have to have the right relationship first with him, okay? Thus, we read in verse 1, and God spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on earth beneath, or that is in the water underneath the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation to those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. So God is telling us here to worship the right God in the right way, okay? So those first three commandments, again, tells us to worship the right God in the right way. And then you have the fourth commandment that tells us to follow God's lead. God builds the nation here. He doesn't want anybody to be burned out in what he's calling them to do. So he says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It's going to be a day of rest. 6 days you shall labor, do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your strangers within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Since God himself created the heavens and the earth in 6 literal days and rested on the seventh, then we should also work 6 days and also rest on the seventh. The nation was to be a blessing to the people, and to take a day off was to reflect on God's goodness in corporate worship and would refresh the nation, give them optimum health. And it's a day of reflection of not only how good God is, but where he has brought them from, out of the land of Egypt, into this wonderful, marvelous land that he has given to them. And so this study of the Ten Commandments shows us a pattern. Jesus encapsulates it when he was asked the question, what is the greatest commandment? And so in Matthew 22, Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So we have this slide here that kind of shows the vertical, our love for God, first, second, third, fourth commandment, okay? And then the horizontal here. And that would be the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth commandment, okay? So if you're doing this, you'll be able to do this. But if you're not doing this, you're not going to be able to love your neighbor. You are not going to be able to carry out that fifth all the way through the tenth commandment unless those first four are where they need to be. okay? Now, I want you to go to Leviticus chapter 19. Because Jesus sums it up, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But where does that come from? Well, that comes from Leviticus. Go to Leviticus chapter 19. And you will see something very interesting here. Verse 9 through 18 is always speaking about your neighbor, about the other person. Okay? Verse 9, when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest. You shall not glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather every grape of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the stranger. I'm the Lord your God. He's telling them right there, look, there's going to be those who are poor. There's going to be the stranger coming through the land. You're going to leave some for them to glean, to be able to provide for them. So again, thinking of others. Verse 11, you shall not steal. Okay, well, that talks right there about the eighth commandment, okay? Nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another. Well, that's the ninth commandment. Again, it's about other people. Verse 12, you shall not swear by my name falsely, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Well, that's the third commandment right there. You shall not cheat your neighbor, okay? Going down here to verse 15, you shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. In right, you shall judge your neighbor. Okay? Verse 16, you shall not go out as a talebearer among your people, nor shall you take and stand against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. Verse 17, you shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. So again, this is all speaking of how you're going to minister to others. And then it says in verse 18, you shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. So all this stuff about your neighbor and encapsulated there in the very end, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. How do you do that? All those things mentioned kind of gives you an idea of how to love your neighbor, all right? So before this whole part about how you are to love your neighbor, Jesus says that the greatest command is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the second one is to love your neighbor as yourself. So he encapsulates all of them. The very first four is loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And then the next six have to do with loving your neighbor, okay? But go over here to chapter 19, verse 1 of Leviticus. I find this very fascinating. Before he gets into how to love your neighbor, okay, we have here in verse 1, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the congregation of the children of Israel. Say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And what is the very first commandment he says after that? Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father. What? He brings up the fifth commandment before any of the other commandments when it comes to loving your neighbor. First and foremost, you should revere the mother, his mother and father. And keep my Sabbath. He even put that before the Sabbath day, which is what? The fourth commandment. Do not turn to idols. Okay. Nor make for yourself molded gods. Okay, that's the second commandment. All right. And so you have him starting off, God himself speaking to Moses and says, first off, I am your Lord. That is the first commandment. I am God. Okay. Now understand this. Honor your father and mother. Revere. Okay, your mother and his father. And look at that. It is the opposite. It's not father and mother. It's transposed. It is now what? Mother and father. He switched it there. Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father. Because just because it says father and mother doesn't necessarily mean that the father is going to get more respect or honor than the mother. No, they're both equally honored, both equally respected. And here, God switches them and says, mother and father. I find this very fascinating that he begins here with that. Now, we're going to see a slide right here. Alec Moyer, in his commentary, okay, shows this pattern without the fifth commandment, okay? He sees the very first two commandments, heart, mind, and thoughts. The third commandment, he sees words, and the fourth commandment, deeds, okay? And then when it comes to his neighbor, he sees it in the opposite direction. He sees deeds, six through eight, words, ninth commandment, heart, mind, thoughts, tenth commandment. Kind of goes this way and then goes backwards that way. Now the next slide here, he adds the fifth commandment. Changes it up a little bit, but he adds the fifth commandment. Our obligation towards God, our heart is the first commandment, the deeds, second, third, and fourth commandment. Our family obligations, the fifth commandment. Our deeds, the sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth commandment. Our hearts, tenth commandment. So again, it goes from heart, deeds, to deeds, heart. Okay. Now, he doesn't really explain a lot of how he came up with that, but that's fine because what I'm using it for is for something else. I look at this and we often, as I just pointed out, and what Jesus said, Jesus is pointing to the vertical God and then others. Here's the greatest commandment, God, then others. Love your neighbor as yourself, the horizontal, all right? In order to simplify this, I've always seen it as there's kind of like two sections to the Ten Commandments. It's God and others, okay? But I actually think that there's three sections to the Ten Commandments. By this slide right here, it is God, there it is. It's God, family, others. Now look at this. You got to worship God first. Then it says to honor your father and your mother, family. And then after you spend time with God in true worship, time of prayer, reading his word, is when you're best going to be able to what? Minister in the way of family. And once you're ministering to family the way you're supposed to, you're going to then be able to minister to others in this way, in your community, in your society. If you do not have a relationship with God, you're not going to have a good relationship with family. And if you don't have a good relationship with a family, you're not going to have a good relationship with your community or society. God comes first, then family, then others. God, family, others. Guess what? Those of us that are in ministry, it's God, family, ministry in the way of how you minister to others. And there are many a pastor who has sacrificed their family in the altar of ministry. That they wouldn't. God, ministry, then family. And that's not the way that God has it. And he's never had it that way. Going here to Exodus 20, verse 12. Let's read this. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The word honor here in the Hebrew, kavod, means to weigh heavily upon, be weighty, honored, glorified. To honor father and mother is to give due weight to their position in your life. This commandment should not be treated lightly. It is to respect God's authority in your life through your parents. Be respecting. You give honor to your parents. You are giving respect and honor to God when you do that. In order for a nation of God to run properly, there first must be a proper worship of God. Secondly, there must be a proper order of honor and respect in the family. God has already given us the proper order of the construct of the family all the way back in Genesis. I want you to go over here to Genesis chapter 2. In Genesis 1:27, God already declared that he created the male and female. And so here in Genesis chapter 2, verse 21, after God created Adam, it says here in verse 21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman. And he brought her to the man. Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. They are both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. From the very beginning, we see the social family structure for man. In order to continue the human race, God tells us what's best for man. When it comes to companionship, this is what is best for man: a woman. A woman. It's marriage. One man, one woman. The foundation of what God has set forth to raise a family. Man's companion is to be a woman. And this is how he has laid out the family construct for society. Honor for fathers and mothers is essentially the building block for the stability and health of all society. If younger generations are constantly at war with the older generation, that society will be destroyed. All through the 60s, it could be summarized as the anti-everything. Anti-government, anti-war, anti-military, anti-establishment. But what the 60s was mostly anti was anti-family. Anti-family. Novelist Annie Gottlieb said in her book, Do You Believe in Magic?, speaking on the 60s, the generation that destroyed the American family, she says, we might not have been able to tear down the state, but the family was closer. We could get our hands on it. We believe that the family was the foundation of the state, as well as the collective state of mind, which is true. We truly believe that the family had to be torn apart to free love. Interesting. In 1967, this opinion was expressed by anthropologist Edmund Leach. In one of his lectures, he said, the family was the source of all our discontents. Thus, we must tear apart the family, is what he's saying there. Annie Gottlieb got it right. If you want to destroy the state, the nation, first destroy the family. And the way you destroy the family is for children to rebel and disobey their parents. So just as the relationship with God is the beginning of the Mosaic Covenant, so too this relationship between parents and children is what begins a healthy society. Relationship between parent and child is the primary relationship in society. Under ordinary circumstances, the first people the child knows is its parents. So because of that, God expects father and mother to be training the child in the ways of authority. If you do not respect authority at home, you're not going to respect it anywhere else as well. To preserve this order, God gave us the fifth commandment. You're to honor your mother and father. And part of this working formula of the fabric of society is to be built on the family. Destroy the family, destroy society. Destroy society, you destroy the nation. Again, the word honor is to give due weight to their position in your life, meaning parents. Now, the opposite of honor, dishonor. It shows disrespect. Disobedience would be showing your parents disrespect, rebellion, dishonor. God shows in his word how serious he takes honoring his father and mother. We see some of the worst curses within the nation of Israel upon rebellious children. Leviticus 20, verse 9. It's a good one for kids to memorize. For everyone who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. It's a great verse to memorize. He has cursed his father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him. In Deuteronomy, it says, if a man has a stubborn or rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, who when they have chastened him will not heed them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him, bring him out to the elders of his city, to the gate of his city. And they shall say to the elders of his city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard, which means he cares more about his flesh. He cares more about his own personal pleasure. It shows that he is selfish and that he has no love for God, which is seen by having no love for others. is what they're saying there. Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones, so you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear in fear. Now the parents couldn't do that. The parents had to bring them before the elders. The elders are there to discern, to make sure that, for one, they're not trumped up charges, that the parents aren't really being too harsh. The elders would judge that. However, if it was true, upon interviewing him and the friends he hangs out with and other people that kind of see the same behavior and how long has it been going on, and that there is now a point of no return, then yes, they would make that judgment. They would make that judgment. So God obviously takes his command to honor father and mother very, very seriously. Now, honor your father and mother defines right there what parents are. A father and a mother. This rules out, by very definition, any sort of same-sex partners. It totally rules that out. Parents are defined here as a father and a mother by God himself. Interesting, as God the Father brings God the Son into the world, he puts them under the care of a father and a mother. Verse 12 again says here, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. There's a promise attached to this. That your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you. The Apostle Paul tells us this in Ephesians 6:2. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. This promise had special meaning for the Israelites. They had just been brought out of the land of slavery, the land of Egypt, and God had promised to lead them into a new and better country. One way they could ensure that they would keep living the land was to honor their father and mother in the faith. Now, this promise was not to be taken as an automatic guarantee that children who obey their parents will automatically live until they're 100 years of age. Nor does it mean that if someone dies at an early age, it's because they broke the fifth commandment. There are other provinces determining the length of a person's life, such as the nation as a whole worshiping God, not worshiping idols, a person himself not getting involved in bad behavior and things like that. But the actual term long life in the land is a Hebrew expression that means abundant life, is what that means. The fullness of God's blessing of each and every day of life that you have. The amount of time a person has on this earth was a time that was lived out in its fullest of God's blessing, meaning the days themselves would be long with blessing. You can live to 100 years old, but if you don't know God, that's not a good life. You can live to 50 years old, and yet it could be long of God's blessing of each and every day if you know God. That's what happened with Joey. 52 years of age, but his days were long with God's blessing. So long as Israel was obeying their covenant relationship with God, obeying the rules of society as God has laid down, if a person was honoring his father's mother, then guess what? Their days would be filled with God's blessing. And so this speaks of quality, not quantity. This is a very important reason for children to honor their father and their mother, to obey them, because God is giving them the responsibility to teach their children how to know and serve God.
Let nothing ever separate us. Well, that wraps up this Monday edition of Abiding in the Word with Pastor Dave Love. Be sure to join us tomorrow as we dive deeper into our study in the book of Exodus. If you're in Castle Rock or the surrounding area, we'd love to have you visit. You'll find us right near the actual Castle Rock on the corner of 5th and Woodlands. Our weekend services are Saturdays at 5 p.m., and Sundays at a new time of 8:30 a.m. as well as 11 a.m. High schoolers will meet during the 8:30 service and junior high students during the 11 a.m. service. Childcare is available during all our weekend services. We also have a midweek study on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. At the same time, our kids ministry runs Awana. And for young adults, our Arise ministry meets every Friday night at 6:30. right here at the church. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com or download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. We appreciate you spending time with us today. Until our next time together, we encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.